Greetings, friends in Christ. Welcome to this time of worship together during the coronavirus pandemic. This worship service is provided in an audio form just for you. We also have a video form that can be downloaded from YouTube, and that link is available in an email that we send out to everyone, or can be found on our YouTube channel if you subscribe. On June 28th, Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we are having an annual congregational meeting, which is taking place via Zoom. Links for that meeting were mailed out in a letter to congregation members, sent in emails, and also available by request. If you are interested in learning more or being on our email list, please contact me at RevJHarrison@FDLPresbyterian.org. Now let's take a moment to prepare ourselves to open our hearts for the gift of God's grace and to let the light of Christ come into our midst as we prepare to worship God.
The space where you are is holy and sacred, blessed by God because you are there, and you are loved by God. Enter into this time of worship and allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you what you need to hear for your comfort and encouragement, for your challenge and growth. Let us worship God together. Holy God, who created all that exists, we praise you. We open our hearts and our spirits this day to your eternal love and forgiving mercy. Be with us as we participate in this worship service. Remind us again that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might fully understand the depth and breadth of your love. In all things and at all times, we praise you. Amen. Forgiving and gracious Lord, we struggle with so many things on our hearts. We worry about our health, our family, and our jobs. It seems our anxiety about money weaves its way into all of our lives. When we consider leisure time, we worry about how much it will cost. Then we fear for our security and the future. We often act as if we don't believe when you promise to supply our needs. Forgive us when we act as if our security is in wealth, rather than in trusting you. Help us to move past our doubts when we are challenged, and free us to live in joyful appreciation of the blessings you have given to us, rather than worry about what we might lose. Be with us as we seek to turn our lives around, back toward you, O Lord, for it is in Jesus' name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ came to bring us new life. Jesus will not judge or condemn, but has offered his life so that we would no longer have to be overwhelmed with guilt or fear. Hold fast to this good news through Jesus our Lord, you have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The first scripture reading for today is Romans 6, 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you've been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. If you've been following over these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Jesus sending out the disciples to go into the communities in and around Judea and Capernaum to proclaim the gospel. And proclaiming the gospel meant to cast out evil, to bring healing to brokenness, to providing people the gift of God's grace and their knowledge, and done in a manner which is relational. The people were to go and dwell with the people in that place. This is very significant. This brings that whole section of Jesus' commissioning somewhat to a close, and especially brings it into a point of understanding that our relationships are an extension of our relationship with God. And the manner in which we are treated and the manner in which we treat others is a part of how our worship for God, our knowledge of God, our love for God is expressed. So from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, we read Jesus saying, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes the prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, call us to a relationship with you that enables us to share your holiness with all others, that in the blessing that you have placed within us, we are able to reach out and create blessing through our conversation, through our presence, through our love and our attitude. Enable us to be in fellowship with you, and in that way to empower the words that we speak, the way in which we treat the people who are near us, as a way of proclaiming your word, your wisdom, and your strength. Speak to us again and instruct us in your grace so that we can follow as you will lead us. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. This commissioning that comes from Matthew is something that we have been using, understanding who we are, the way in which we have been formed, and the role that we have together in serving Christ. And this becomes particularly important when we are in this situation in which we can't do what we're accustomed to doing. We're not able to live in the familiar. We're not able to practice that which just sort of flows out of habit. But when you break habit and when you take a person out of familiar, you create an opportunity for greater understanding and reflection, for perception in what's important, for thinking about what can be changed. When you're no longer functioning out of rote memory, out of just learned muscle memory, and you have to stop and do things, it makes it more awkward. You end up not being quite so smooth. You can remember any time in which there's a batter who is accustomed to hit after hit, when they suddenly, something's not quite right and they have to put their mind into it, when all of a sudden they're thinking and getting out of their own head, that's a time to have to then retool technique. We do this exact same thing in relationship, and we can become very frustrated with that. We can feel that that's a reduction in some sense, or we can choose it as an opportunity. We can look upon it as a gift. God has disturbed us out of the place where we were through power that, not of our own making, not of our own choice, and definitely not of our control, but we have an opportunity to ask, how can we move forward? How can we be who God would call us to be? And particularly, how can we re-examine in a way that can be transforming, and in that way make ourselves that much closer to God and closer to the people around us? This passage from the commissioning and the sending of the disciples is saying, whoever welcomes you is not just welcoming you, they are welcoming Jesus. And as they welcome Jesus, they are welcoming the Father. And this is not some sort of ego-building statement. What it is that every relationship is a holy practice, a sacred encounter, a time of bringing to that person the blessedness of Christ. And when they respond, and it mentions a cold glass of water, and the term cold is a little bit changed in the translation, because what it means is a drinkable glass of water. A glass of water that has not been added to, but it is just simply good water to quench the thirst. Throughout the Middle East, the lowest, minimal thing of hospitality is to offer a glass of water that is drinkable to anybody who asks of it. You can imagine how in a desert climate, in a place in which wells can sometimes be hard to find and streams can be unpredictable, that rule of hospitality, even if this is somebody who is a bitter enemy, if they ask it of you, you must provide them water to drink. And what Jesus is saying is, even if the exchange is the minimal amount of currency or involvement, it's still a sacred encounter. It is still an important part of your relationship with Jesus and everybody's relationship then with God. What we say matters. The attitude we have towards others matters. And the way in which we live is to demonstrate God's love. Our religion, our faith, is not just a side thing that we do, and it definitely needs to not be a set of rules and doctrines that we might use to try and control. Our faith is about Christ through us to the world, or else it really isn't anything that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about this passage from Romans that we've then taken the next section. And it's very important to understand what's being said here because it has a lot to do with our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with the people around us, and even our very relationship with ourselves. The Apostle Paul was speaking about what God's expectations are and what makes someone holy before God or not acceptable before God, particularly in a Jewish and a Greek world. And the term sin was about at that time. As we mentioned last week, the term sin originated as an archery term. It was a term that simply meant to miss, that there is the target, there is the spot, and rather than hit what is intended, the outcome was to miss. And the Apostle Paul was trying to explain that being outside of God's desire, being outside of wholeness, is not about not fulfilling all of the ritual and law, as the Jewish people may have suggested, or about either being a person of substance or a person of meaninglessness, as the Greeks would say, but it was about practicing relationship with God and improving that relationship. We can either be slaves to sin or people who are serving and obedient to righteousness. A slave to sin is someone who has given up on hitting the target. It's somebody who has essentially come to regard failure as a regular part of their life. And in the Roman Christian church, there was a degree of helplessness that was felt, despair at ever being able to live in a way that would be relating to God. There was so much that was wrong in their lives, and there were so many outside forces causing that, they saw themselves as powerless to be able to be whole, to be able to be in healthy relationships. And they knew the good news of God's grace, so even though everything was going to pieces, God is still loving and just, and that's the gift of grace. But that's so much less than what God wanted for them. And Paul knew that they were going to suffer so much more if they did not come to regard themselves as God's beloved who could become whole and healthy. We don't understand sin because we tend to make that a condemnation of the person. The person is just a bad person. But that's not what sin meant. Sin meant missing the target. We also don't understand righteousness. Righteousness has gotten to be typified as being something holy and probably very boring. When we heard that somebody was tremendously righteous, we didn't exactly think, here's somebody I want to spend the afternoon with. We tended to think, there's somebody my mother wants me to spend the afternoon with, but I'm going to find that really dull. It's the problem that righteousness means everything is right. Everything is as God has desired it to be, and there is a flow to righteousness, that everything is smooth. If you've ever been in a situation where you've played a sport or you've been involved in an activity or played a musical instrument and everything was exactly in the flow and your mind and your body and everything was oriented all together around this common aim and goal, and that it went so smoothly, that's righteousness. The goal of righteousness is for us to walk through every conversation in a way in which we feel the engagement of God's love passing through us and that person being blessed by that. The goal of righteousness is not that we struggle with decisions or feel victims of the circumstances in which we're in, but that the goal of righteousness is that we are able to pass through these things as God created us to be, using our natural talents, our natural gifts, and our natural capabilities in a way in which it is truly in harmony with the Holy Spirit. That's righteous, and that's good. And that's what God desires us to do. But we sin, and sin interferes with righteousness. I mentioned that when I was younger, a neighbor introduced me to archery. And in that exercise, in that practice, he involved a group of us in the neighborhood in an archery league. And it was really rather fun, and it was different ages, different people's backgrounds, but we all had the same goal: hit the target. And the target was downrange, and the league rules had different lengths of targets, and so different people would have different capabilities so that they would sight up with a different target. But we all worked together with each other. When you didn't hit the target, you sinned, would be the term that Paul would use. You missed. You didn't say to the archer who missed the target, "Oh, you bad archer, you are just totally depraved." You would say, "Maybe adjust your stance a little bit. Could it be that, you know, if you relax your left shoulder just a little bit, you wouldn't be shaking quite as much and you'd get a little better. Take a deep breath before you release the arrow," or any number of things. We didn't criticize each other, but we did watch each other for how we could improve upon each other's capability, because we all had the same goal: hitting the target and enabling the other to hit the target. And this is what the Apostle Paul's intention for the body of Christ to be. For us to look at one another and to see we have relationships that aren't working. We have circumstances in which we're not able to be whole and complete in the manner in which we were created to be. And to be able to say, it may be that you're not bringing to this relationship what it is that needs to be there for it to be whole. You may need to work on why it is that you want other people to give to you what you're going to feel about yourself. And that by building up and deepening your relationship with God, instead of expecting others to make you feel good about yourself, you would be empowered. See, one of the things that's the problem, being a slave to sin, particularly in relationships, is we're like archers who believe it's the target's fault that we miss. We often fall into these patterns in which everything is what the other person is doing or not doing that results in the brokenness of the relationship. You know, we see this so frequently in the problems of our social justice issues, the racism, the demonstrations that are happening in the country around us. And where people are wise, they are asking, what is it I'm not bringing to this relationship? In what ways am I a slave to my own sin of assumptions, beliefs, perceptions, and a point of view that is causing me to cast upon the other person an image and an assumption that is causing them to miss the mark as well? And when we get to the point where, like an archery league, we can say, how can we both learn to hit the target together more frequently? We can begin to examine what it is we're not bringing to relationships. In this time of the coronavirus, in this time in which we're separated from people, from what is customed, what is comfortable, what seems more natural to us, we have to be intentional about relationships, and that gives us an opportunity to work on our aim, to improve our stance, to become better at hitting the target. For example, if you're lonely, you don't cure loneliness by demanding the other person pay more attention to you. Because that simply causes the other person to feel like they are engaging your desperation, and desperation is never an attractive element. But if you're lonely and you pay closer attention to the other person and what they are experiencing, then you draw the two of you together, and that loneliness becomes filled. In the same way, if you feel like you're not being respected, if you feel like you're not being treated in the way that you think you should be treated, that resentment is coming from a deficit within yourself. Why is it that you expect other people to give you a way of feeling and thinking about yourself that you'll be pleased with? Because nobody can do that. But if you begin from the point of view of asking, why is it I feel that I am lacking something, and what is it that I am not bringing that is causing me to be separated from this person, that's causing this person to want to distance themselves from me, it gives an opportunity to be able to work on your aim, to examine your assumptions, to look at what you might be pouring on the relationship, what contempt, what judgment, what bitterness, what scars from the past that you are trying to deal with through punishing a person in the present. You see, we're all missers of the mark. We're all people that don't aim and hit what we're aiming for. We miss the target. Or as Paul would say, sinners. You know, it's funny that Paul says that without really any sense of judgment, without any condemnation, without any attack, and people so carefully quote Paul from Romans in order to put that back in and get that animosity, attack, and judgment back into the faith. But that's not Paul's thing. What Paul wants is that we see, we miss. We do it a lot, but we get to aim again. And if we work at it, we can hit the target better. That's what it means to be obedient to righteousness. And Paul goes on to say, which we choose, whether we allow ourselves to be enslaved by our faults and failings, whether we choose to begin working at being obedient to righteousness, is going to determine the outcome. The quote is so often thrown at people, the wages of sin is death. Well, what he's saying is, depending upon whether you decide to work for slavery, the slavery to sin, or work for righteousness, is going to determine what's in your paycheck. And if you choose to be obedient to righteousness, it gives a new opportunity for transformation. Be intentional about building a relationship. Make phone calls, send cards, write emails or messages in some other fashion that let somebody know that you care about them and that you want them to feel loved and blessed. Provide opportunities for people to know that you are listening to them, that you're attentive to their needs. Be intentional about practicing sharing Christ's love, because it's going to be a while before you get to do it in the ways that are familiar, that normally work for you, that are easy. But by doing it in ways that are new and practiced and with a little bit of adjustment to your technique, you might discover that that flow that Jesus was talking about of God's love through Christ into us, into the world, those holy encounters of relationship, can be transformed and renewed and made whole. And that's the gift that God is wanting to give us so that we might give that gift to the world. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we miss the mark. We don't always hit what we're aiming for. And even worse, sometimes we're not aiming for what you invite us to know and to experience in our relationships. And so frequently, we blame others for what we are not bringing to the relationship. We accuse others for making us feel about ourselves the way we feel. We create barriers and then wonder why there's not closeness. We become judgmental and then wonder why there's an abundance of guilt. In this world, there are so many people right now who are looking for being understood, being appreciated, being heard. Make us people who know how to dispense those cups of cold water in Jesus' name that can be a healing gift of fellowship and love. We pray for the willingness to learn so that we might be obedient to righteousness. Share with us your gift of grace and a vision for healing and wholeness that could transform this world. We do particularly pray at this time, Lord God, for those who are suffering loss of loved ones, going through very harsh and difficult times of transition. We pray for those who have been separated from people whom they've loved for far too long. We pray for people who are so worried about their finances and worried about the world around them. Let your grace, your love, and your peace continue to flow through us and draw us together. Make us one people. Enable us to be united in one voice as we pray in the words that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and in life everlasting.
Amen. This has been a worship experience that we are sharing via our podcasts from First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. I'm glad that you can join with us. We also have a Wednesday evening podcast that's uploaded on our website. And if you're on our email list, you'll receive notification of those as well. If you would like to get a hold of me, I'd love to hear from you at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. And you can find out more about what's happening at First Presbyterian Church at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. God bless you, stay safe, and we look forward to when we can be together again.